Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome to Lynn's Bin on 93XRT. Why do we like baseball so much? You see, it used to be like this. And I'm not talking about the Cubs or the Sox. I'm talking about school's out. A breakfast of Frosted Flakes and milk. Yeah, milk. Not 2%, not 1%, not fat-free. You ate cereal because anything else took too long. Mom, I gotta go. There's a game. There was always a game, even when there wasn't. I'm talking about sliding your ragged baseball glove on the handlebars of your Schwinn. Just you and the Hager kids and Mario. You know, everybody. Even the twins, Jimmy and Kevin, who fought all the time. Some of us in stiff dungarees with a chipped bat slung over the shoulder and a baseball glove hanging off the end, trudging along like a runaway looking for a ride. It was just kids. Maybe parents had more faith in kids then, or maybe they just had more faith. Although I figure some of those moms and dads decided to let Darwin have his day. You see, if you talk to a baseball fan, we don't always cling to the game because our favorite major league team signed a free agent, or because we really expect a pennant. We come back because we know how it feels.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
You know, it's writing like that makes you not want to write. You know, so I'm going to go ahead and blame our next guest who joins us in the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. For my relative inactivity of late in putting pen to paper, I feel more comfortable, Lynn, that I might be able to do something on the microphone as I take linguistic liberties and look up the etymology of idioms on a now weekly basis with no baseball. That I might be able to do something that approaches decency. You, my friend, that's beautiful stuff about the game that we both love. Beautiful.
You know, it's funny you pick out that clip because I was so wanting to participate in some way in baseball yesterday. Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
That I made a neighborhood kid across the street who I first knew when he was 4 or 5 years old. And has been known on the block as Cubby Kevin since he was a little kid. I said, Kevin, go get your glove. I need to have a catch with somebody. I need to play catch. So he has a new glove, and we just threw the ball at each other back and forth in the summer heat yesterday just because I wanted to hear that sound of the ball and the glove and wanted to see if my rotator cuff is recovering from my injury of about a month ago. I strained it, I think, reaching for a bottle of tequila on an upper shelf. That's a true story.
That's so much better in terms of an injury story than Jose Quintana reaching into a sink and grabbing a knife with his pitching thumb, you know?
Or Steve Trout falling off a stationary bicycle.
That's an all-timer. Oh, there's so many of those. There's so many of those. But reaching for a bottle of tequila and damaging the rotator cuff.
Yeah, I was really angry at myself. Really, Lynn?
Yeah.
At your age, you're going to hang up your glove because you were reaching for tequila?
Yeah. Well, the good news is when that happens, you've got the anesthesia you need right there already in your hand, assuming you finished the task.
You know what? I once said to my wife, as God is my witness, I will never run out of tequila again.
So I don't have to reach up and grab it. He's Lynn Bramer. He is your Midday Man on WXRT. And I just heard, Lynn, I didn't know this. You're the voice of the billboards, the introductions and sponsorship billboards on Cubs broadcast this year on the Cubs Radio Network and 670 The Score. That is tremendous.
You know what? It doesn't seem real to me yet. And I heard you talking about it on the air. I go, that's right. Yeah. I am the voice of the Chicago Cubs on the Score Sports Radio 670. That's going to be awesome. It's kind of like the feeling you probably had when they said, hey, Matt, you're going to have to do some play-by-play. There's some people out. How about you do some play-by-play for the Cubs?
Yeah, that was horrifying. That was just terrifying. I prepared a lot, but it wasn't enough. Just was not enough. I do like, though, that I still have the one listener, at least one guy, who always, when I'm on, says, you know, in an odd way, I hope they don't play a single game. Then the only game that I listened to this year was called by Matt Effing Spiegel. You
know? I heard you talking about that. That would be perfect.
Right?
Just the one game. Just the one. Hey, you know who was great in 2020 doing play-by-play for the Cubs? Matt Spiegel. Vis-a-vis nobody else.
Yes. I'll tell you what, that guy could say the best Cubs play-by-play voice I heard this year of an actual game was Matt Spiegel. Not a replay, because we've certainly heard lots of those. But Lynn, no, that's great that you're going to be part of the broadcast, man, because I know the feeling of just being part of either pre and post or getting to do that one game like I did or hear the Tributosaurus song or whatever, it always feels kind of surreal, and you will be followed by Pat Hughes. Your voice goes right into Pat Hughes. That is going to feel
cut
perfect.
Cut it out. Well, I have to tell you, since we've been friends for 25, 30 years, if we are that old, that whenever I hear the jingle that starts the Cub broadcast, I just turn to my wife and goes, that's Matt. She goes, you're an idiot.
Yes. Well, my son knows that one, and he knows Feltko. He knows that. He hears Feltko, and he goes,
oh,
hey.
Yeah.
That's you, Daddy. But that's not why we called. So Lynn Bramer, high school pitcher of note, I saw that you tweeted this video, and I just retweeted it moments ago. The 65-year-old lefty Lynn Bramer with a fastball that touches the upper 50s, a two-seamer that darts like a drugged minnow, and a roundhouse curve that arrives like a stalled downbound train delayed by an unauthorized person on the tracks.
Yeah, I don't have what I used to have, although somebody was mocking me yesterday about my lack of velocity, and I was able to snap off a couple of really sharp curves. I said, take that.
Ooh, so that's what I was wondering, like, that is a lovely description, and it describes some pitches that you used to throw, but were you still throwing those pitches with the different fingerings, the different grips and movements and such?
Well, when I was in high school, I essentially just had two pitches, a two-seam fastball, maybe a four-seamer, and a curveball. And what I would hope to do is get out in front of the batter, you know, like 1-2 and 0-2, and go, okay, now I'm just going to drop that big curve right over the plate, and then I'd hit him in the head and he'd go down to first base.
But every once in a while, I know you had moments where you did drop that curve over the plate and he swung over it, and you're just like, that's exactly what I wanted to do. Can you think of one? Did you have him?
Well, to drop a name that you sometimes hear in the Score, you know, the famous sports writer John Feinstein.
Yes.
I pitched against him. We were both New York schoolboy, and he remembers and tweeted about this a couple months ago, remembering me striking him out. And I believe that was a game where I pitched a 7-inning no-hitter and lost the game because I walked like 10 guys. I modeled myself after the young Sandy Koufax, and by young Sandy Koufax, he had no control yet.
Yeah, so I think you had that part of it down.
My windup was right over the top, like Sandy Koufax. I did not throw an index finger curveball, which I think Sandy Koufax threw, which is just insane. But I wanted to be Sandy Koufax, so I was much more impressed with throwing hard than throwing to, you know, the glove. In fact, my brother David, who was a really good baseball player, and we played on the varsity high school team together. He was 2 years younger than me. He was the shortstop. I was the pitcher. And in batting practice, you know, sometimes you'd have live batting practice. And if I hit him with a pitch, I wouldn't say, "Are you okay?" I would say, "Was it fast? Did it hurt?"
Somebody's got to give you that affirmation.
Exactly.
Right?
So,
yes, yes. Hit that. That's his job, to take that pain and return it with affirmation. As I watched your delivery and your mechanics, and especially your finish, I know you modeled yourself after Koufax. Right now, I'm seeing Tommy John. Have you ever thought that he looked like you, or you looked like him in the way that you pitch? I legitimately looked and said, "Boy, that reminds me of Tommy John," especially the finish for some reason.
You know what? It there is kind of a stilted windup, and that whole pause with the glove at my belly.
Yeah.
That was all stylistic nonsense. That's not how I would pitch.
Uh-huh.
I actually thought almost Louis Tiant without the as much of a twist.
Oh, that's my guy right there.
Tiant is your guy?
Oh, God. Well, I mean, one of my guys. I have a lot of guys. Okay, Tiant, really my older brother's guy. And then as I started to pitch and try and think that I was ever going to be anything, I would try to figure out the difference between Louis Tiant and Gene Garber in terms of the delivery. Remember Gene Garber did the kind of thing, same kind of move. And then I found Kent Tekulve and tried to throw like Kent Tekulve for a while, and none of those.
Your arm will fall off. You try to throw like Kent Tekulve.
Yeah, and drag those knuckles on the ground.
He was a submariner who looked a little bit like the warning sign on a bottle of iodine. You know, the little skeleton, like, warning.
That guy.
Like, don't drink this stuff.
Yeah. But, man, he fit somehow. It's just the most photogenic in an odd way team ever, with the uniforms and the whole thing, with Pop Stargell and Sanguian and the Cobra and Tekulve and all those guys. Just what a tremendously entertaining team.
I think it was the 79 World Series victory where Kent Tekulve nailed it down.
Yep.
And on TV a week or so ago, as we all baseball fans are now looking and saying, "Do I really care about a 19? Was it yesterday? They were showing a 2011 Cubs Washington Nationals game from July 4th. I go, "Do I really want to watch the Cubs from 2011?
Yeah.
One of the first things they say in the broadcast as I'm watching it on the MLB network is, the Cubs have the worst defense in the major leagues this year. Like, yeah, no, I don't want to watch this.
Thank you very much, and on we move. Well, here's the thing, Lynn Bramer. There's actual activity. Have you allowed yourself... Hey, Sean Anderson, who is our intrepid producer. Sean, would you please play Javier Baez doubling off Yu Darvish yesterday, I believe as recorded by a friend of the show, Steve Greenberg of the Chicago Sun-Times, and listen to some voice telling him to try and stretch it into a double. That's the best we got right now, Lynn.
I saw the video. I didn't hear the audio, and I on the phone, I can't really make out what they're saying. But I was very excited to see that, because yesterday I saw some highlights on social media. It was just Chris Bryant striking out and somebody else striking out, and Kyle Hendricks looking really sharp. But I needed that Javi Baez double.
And some voice going, two. I don't know. We don't know who it is. Somebody's shouting two over and over. Is it the first base coach? Possibly. Is it Mike Napoli through that beard? Possibly. Who's in the Tim Buss role in the dugout? These are the things we're going to get to find out. If they play games, the broadcast possibilities of what it's going to sound like on 670 The Score after my song and your billboard. That's pretty fun, Lynn, that we're on the broadcast together. It's fascinating. We might learn some things that we will certainly learn some things that we never would have learned if there were fans in the stands.
Yeah, like you really need a delay button for a live broadcast.
Yes, absolutely. I heard this yesterday. I did not know this, that some teams are considering, and maybe they're already doing it, I don't know, but doing, I don't think they're doing it because there are no games, but getting pictures submitted online from season ticket holders, as you are, Lynn, as you have been for a long time, right?
Yeah, since 89.
Yeah, so getting pictures from season ticket holders and putting those in the seats as part of the cutouts of those seats where those people usually sit.
Oh boy, what about? Are they going to do? Are they going to do synthetic crowd noise at all?
Yeah, you know, every team has it completely up to their own auspices. They decide what to do. And Mitch Rosen has talked about this. That yeah, the score is going to be doing some stuff like that, looking into it. And to me, that's fascinating. What I've envisioned is that, you know, some teams will have like an austere kind of cinema verite, you know, very streamlined minimalist approach, right?
Right.
And then some teams are going to have like, it's going to be like the sitcom of baseball, just laugh tracks and like super loud excitement and poorly timed crowd reactions. And then other teams are just going to be just completely blank and absolutely dead. So like, see, the personality comes through.
I'm a radio guy. I'm thinking theater of the mind. I'm all for the laugh track and the crowd noise and some sound engineer having a lot of fun going, yeah, let's get this. Well, that was a bunt single. Let's plug in the reaction to the Cubs winning the World Series or something like that.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. You could do some of that. And also, they've reached out to video game people. I know that the soccer, the Premier League, has EA Sports, has the video game people adding in live sound, because you got to track that stuff and play like the excitement build button and then the disappointing outcome button or the excitement gets even larger button. You know, you got to time out all that stuff and have your options ready.
These are the things we're looking forward to if we get to look forward to it.
Well, that's the main question of the day, is are you, as a baseball fan, allowing yourself to envision a season, to emotionally invest and believe that we're going to get a season? And it's a question we ask ourselves every year in a competitive sense. Am I going to commit that my team might actually be good and I'll probably get my heart broken again? And I know you're a yes on that. You're one of my favorite yeses on that on the planet. So right now in this moment, are you able to invest?
Well, here's the thing. Don't believe a word I say, because I'll say, you know what, it's going to be half a season. I'm not that interested. Who knows if they're going to finish the season. But just between you and me, if there are baseball games, I'm going to be listening to them. And God forbid I'm allowed to watch them as well. I may do that. But there is no question in my mind that it is in my DNA that I cannot turn away from baseball, especially a Major League Baseball game with the surging White Sox, although they haven't played a game yet, and the Chicago Cubs. I will need to watch that as long as it's going on. Now, you know, everyone's speculating whether they can do a full season, a full half season, but as long as it's there, I'm there too.
Yeah. Before I want to ask you about one other aspect in baseball. But before we get there, earlier in the week, Dan Bernstein had me on to talk about the national anthem as a song, just simply as a song. And lyrically, there are issues, of course. But as a song also, it's so awkward to sing, Lynn. Some of the greatest singers in the world have never bothered to attempt because it's got this crazy range of an octave and a half. You know, oh, say, you got to go down there if you're going to be able to make it sound decent when you get up to the top. And it's just hard to sing along with. And so This Land Is Your Land has come up. I really like America the Beautiful. But if we went to the rock milieu, which is your wheelhouse, tell me why you thought of, appropriately so enough, The Wheel by Jerry Garcia and the Grateful Dead. Tell me why you thought of The Wheel.
Well, the wheel always reminds me of a line in Bob Dylan's The Times They Are A-Changin', where he sings, "Don't speak too soon, because the wheel's still in spin, because things are always changing." Mm-hmm. The Wheel is one of those all-purpose, inspirational songs. It almost has, a deep Asian religion reference to it. It's just a catch-all. Whenever I want to play a song that means a lot to anyone who hears it, that's the song I go to.
All right, here's a little The Wheel by Jerry. Yeah. Hey, man, the spacey top has that jam to it right away. But lyrically, tell me why Jason Isbell is and his song Hope the High Road speaks to you, Lynn Bramer.
Well, Jason Isbell, one of America's finest singer-songwriters today, Hope the High Road just has one great line after another. And even though it's a couple years old, it's almost as if it was written for this moment in history, this time, with everything that's happening. And the chorus is just perfect. It's talking about, you know, you may be tired, you may be sick, everything, but in the end, let's hope you take the high road.
Love it. 670, The Score is where you are. Lynn Bramer, thanks for the time, man. One of my favorite baseball fans on the planet. I look forward to both of our voices being in a Cubs broadcast booth this year. That'll be fun.
Thank you, Matt. I really missed this weekend, normally the American Music Festival, and seeing you and Tributosaurus become, say, the band. Mm. And singing it makes no difference. That makes me sad that I didn't get that experience. And also, yeah. Pollyanna was turned into a Disney movie in the 60s,
okay,
starring Haley Mills, and I loved it because I loved Haley Mills.
You're tying the room together. That's what you're doing. Like a good
tying
area run.
Not.
You are the best. Thank you, Lynn. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
Yeah, man. July 4th is supposed to be Fitzgerald's and the Great American Music Festival, one of the absolute best things that happens every year in Chicagoland. Absolute best things. And I hope we can do it next year. It is 670 The Score. And we're going to check in with our man Bruce Levine at some point here this morning. Also, Jason Benetti, the voice of the White Sox, will be at the top of the hour. Chris Kampka, also coming up later on to really tie the room together. That is his gig, people. Don't take his gig, Bramer. And also, we're going to talk about a uniquely baseball issue when a player of a certain magnitude could really affect the way that you think about everything. Is it a uniquely baseball issue or not? We'll talk about that at some point as well. At 670 The Score, it's Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel. Keep it right here.
I know you're tired, you ain't sleeping well. Uninspired, likely mad as hell. But wherever you are, I hope the high road leads you home again to the world you want to live in. To the world you want to live in.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I gotta get down.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
It is 670 The Score, and while Luis Robert takes batting practice right now over at Guaranteed Rate Field, we got some sobering news during the break, and that is this from the Chicago White Sox. Quote, as part of Major League Baseball's return to play health protocols, Chicago White Sox players, staff, and front office members received COVID-19 testing. Of these, two players tested positive. Both individuals who tested positive are asymptomatic. That's good news. Have been isolated in Chicago. That's good news. And currently are being monitored by White Sox medical staff. Contact tracing for both was conducted. Both individuals will receive follow-up testing in the coming days. They will return to activities once they have recorded consecutive negative tests and passed appropriate COVID-19 protocols. The health of our players and staff is our top priority, and the White Sox are adhering to all MLB health and safety protocols. We cannot comment on the health status of individual players or employees regarding COVID-19, and the players involved requested privacy at this time related to their health situation. So, more sobering news. More, this is real, everybody. It is more impactful, the this is real message, which apparently still needs to get out when someone puts their experience and their names and emotion to it. But that is their choice. And I, of course, and you, I should have no issue with people wanting to keep it private if they have indeed tested positive. That said, in a media business with people knowing who was supposed to be at camp and who might not be there yet, there is certainly going to be that kind of rampant speculation. This is the awkwardness of the moment that we're in as a sports business. Do you dig on stuff like this and expose this? Ridiculous, right? But you're sitting around, if you're sitting around in the press box like, hey, I don't see, blank. Where are they? What's going on? So, I mean, it's, you know, people will do that. In an unrelated bit of White Sox news that we got the other day, Michael Kopech is not here for personal reasons. That's all that Rick Hahn said, is a personal issue, and Michael Kopech is not there. And that's all he's saying, and that's fine. It's and it leads people to think and to speculate and all of that. It's, you know, I think the truth, if I were a player, and really as a human in whatever limited version of the public eye that I'm in, I've always gone down the path of trying to be as open as possible because it's easier and because I don't want to live being ashamed of something, especially if it's not my fault or it just is what it is. And, you know, and you might help people along the way. So I always applaud when people are willing to talk about the uncomfortable stuff. But when it comes to medical issues and how it might affect your families and all of that, you know, do whatever you need to do. It's a tricky, tricky time and a tricky, tricky moment. And add this to the pile of uncertainty that exists. Now we've hit close to home. Tommy Hotovy's emotional open sharing of his situation. And now the White Sox telling us that two players have tested positive. The best player in the game is undisputably Mike Trout. He's the best player in the game. And he is still debating on whether to play, whether to be there and do it. He's still not comfortable, but he's doing it so far. Mike Trout talked about this. Joe Maddon talked about this. Let's hear from them. It's the biggest name in the game. Mike Trout, his feelings on his lack of comfort with playing Major League Baseball.
Honestly, still don't feel comfortable. You know, obviously with the baby coming, there's a lot of stuff going through my mind right now, my wife's mind, my family, just trying to be the safest and most cautious way to get through a season. You know, I've told Billy, I told a bunch of the guys, you know, it's going to be tough. I gotta be really cautious these next few weeks. So I think the biggest thing is, you know, obviously I don't want to test positive and I don't want to bring it back to my wife. You know, we've thought hard about all this, you know, still thinking about all this. It's a tough time, tough situation we're in, everybody's in. You know, everybody's got a responsibility in this clubhouse to, you know, social distance, stay inside, wear a mask, you know, keep everybody safe.
So it's Mike Trout, who has grown more and more comfortable and more vocal, and I'm glad he should. He is truly great, and the sport could use, you know, a thoughtful, open people as much as anybody. It absolutely could. 9 or 10 different Angels players were unavailable to work out on Friday. They have two ballparks, Angel Stadium or Long Beach State. And Joe Maddon was asked about that and said he can't say who those players were or why they were unavailable, but he says it was not because anybody had opted out. We haven't even talked about the opt-outs, really, but obviously that's the path we're going down here with Mike Trout still expressing his feelings. Here's Joe Maddon talking about this in a conference call about the players and their concerns on playing.
Mike Trout had some concern about playing this year amid the coronavirus. So what have you heard from other players about their level of concern about going through with this?
Yeah, I mean, what we're doing right now is we're trying to address those concerns. Last night I had my team meeting via Zoom, 7 p.m. We had over 100 people on the call to try to talk about everything openly and make sure that everybody had all the facts and everybody can make an informed decision, and was just very upfront, honest as he could possibly be, transparent. And we went through the whole process last night. We're continuing to do that with the training staff, our medical staff. We're here to answer all their questions. We want to make sure that they make an informed decision. That's it. There's no bias involved. There's nobody trying to influence anybody's decision. These are grown men. They have to speak to their own truth, how they feel about things. So right now, we're just trying to give them as much as we possibly can and let them decide. So there is trepidation. Of course there is, among a lot of people, both in the industry and not. I will say this, though. The protocol in place has really been well thought out. I've been very impressed with the layers, the different layers involved. My goodness, they had to sit down for a while and figure all this out. It's going to take us a bit to get through the uncomfortable, inconvenient nature of the day and make it become more normal, but pretty impressive how MLB kind of put this all together.
It's Joe Maddon talking about his players, including Mike Trout, who is, you know, still uncomfortable. You heard Dallas Keuchel earlier on the show talking about thinking about it every day and being uncomfortable, and there's Trout. Some players have opted out of the MLB season. And if you are going to do it, you might be forfeiting a lot of money. If you are deemed high risk and you opt out of playing, you don't lose your prorated season salary and you don't lose the service time. But if you're not considered high risk, then you forfeit your salary. You don't accrue the service time. And some players were willing to do that. Mike Leake, the right-handed pitcher from the Diamondbacks, is giving up about $5 million in salary. That's what he would have made in the 60-game season. He's going to become a free agent. There's an $18 million club option for 2021 that pays him a buyout. Who knows what they'll do with that? I know it sounds frivolous, but just letting you understand that some people are going to do it. And most of them are veterans who've made some money. Ryan Zimmerman. The Washington Nationals have never played a game without Ryan Zimmerman. Never. And if they play this year, they will. Given my family circumstances, 3 young children, including a newborn and a mother at high risk, decided not to participate, said Ryan Zimmerman. Wasn't going to make a ton of money. Has made a lot. Joe Ross of the Nationals doesn't want to play. One of the most beautiful and thoughtful things I've read in a long time was Ian Desmond in an Instagram post on the 29th of June talking about why he was opting out, a desire to be with his family, and his angst, his discomfort as a biracial man over the racial injustice and the moment, the situation of the moment, and wanting to focus his time and efforts there and locally. on youth baseball, which saved his life, he says, in his hometown of Sarasota, Florida. So he's going to spend his time and his attention there. Quote, it's what I can do in the scheme of so much, so I am, is what Ian Desmond wrote. It's going to cost him $5.5 million. Got another year to go on the contract. David Price, just yesterday on the 4th of July, that is a big, big name, forfeiting about $12 million in salary this year. Enormous contract signed with the Tigers, right? It was the Tigers that then became the Red Sox. Is there another team that I'm missing in there? Tigers, Red Sox, and then Dodgers for David Price?
Blue Jays, too.
Yeah, Blue Jays. So the Blue Jays got him from Detroit, right? I think that was a Mike Ilitch contract that then got traded to the Blue Jays and then ends up with Boston and then goes to the Dodgers. It's crazy. But anyway, David Price out, $12 million and not going to play. Tyson Ross, Joe Ross's brother. And then most recently yesterday, Felix Hernandez, King Felix, who has lost it in terms of the fastball, but is still very, very smart on the mound, trying to hold on, trying to make the Braves, opted out. Not going to be part of things down in Atlanta, is Felix Hernandez. There's quite an all opt-out team that we could put together, right? I don't want to put together an all-virus team. That is in horrendous taste. But the all opt-out team? Oh, yeah, baby. We could do that. It's a hell of a pitching staff so far on the all opt-out team, right? You got both Rosses. You got Mike Leake. You got David Price. King Felix to round it out. What do we do with our all opt-out team? Where do we take them? How do you barnstorm with a bunch of guys who don't want to actually be exposed to anything? I guess you don't. I guess, Spiegel, that's kind of the whole point. I know what they should do. Fantasy league. An all opt-out fantasy league. Get those guys involved. I mean, I'm in. It's what we got. I have fantasy drafts on the schedule. I'm so excited about that. I don't know if they'll happen, but Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, coming up, not this week, but next, leave me alone, back away, as I draft a fantasy team for a 60-game sprint. It is 670 The Score. The sobering news is what the White Sox had released. Let's check in with our man Bruce Levine, who's over at Guaranteed Rate, and you can set the scene for us and talk about that news as well next on 670 The Score. Back in on Hit and Run, right here on 670 The Score. Jason Benetti coming up at the top of the hour. But first, let's go to The Score's baseball insider, our man and my Saturday partner, Bruce Levine, who joins us right now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. Bruce, good morning. Paint me a picture of the situation over there at Guaranteed Rate, if you would.
It's all normal, Matt. You know, everybody just took BP. You know, there were two groups. They did pitchers did PFPs. There are probably, I don't know, 15 guys out in this group. But to start isolating to see who was there and who was not, and finding out who indeed contracted and has had a positive test, we're not able to do that. There's going to be a lot of speculation, but as the White Sox said, both players who tested positive asked not to it be related to the general public. So they must go through MLB COVID-19 protocol, have two negative tests in a row. It'll be spaced a few days apart here, so whoever they are, you know, will be missing some time here for sure before they get back with the group.
That is Bruce Levine giving you the latest as two White Sox players did test positive for COVID-19. Their names undisclosed at their request, and the speculation will not be warranted by the team, certainly publicly, and that's completely understood. But boy, so activities going on the field. You wonder when the players found out, and because Dallas Keuchel talked about this, he just kind of lived with the thought of it every day, lived with the fear of it every day. Do we know when the players were told or anything like that?
Well, this just was released at like 10:15, so I'm sure the White Sox probably got it early this morning. You know, again, all these tests began on Wednesday, but as players came in and groups were tested, you know, you have to have a test every 2 days, Matt. So, like Freddie Freeman, you know, Freddie Freeman came in on Wednesday in Atlanta, and he tested negative. So 2 days later, which is the protocol for Major League Baseball, he had his second test, and he tested positive. That is just the nature of what we're dealing with here, whether he had it in his system for 10, 12 days before that, we don't know. Contracted it right away when he got to camp. So everybody, you know, with the White Sox will be followed up on, of course, and they'll continue to be tested probably even more often after positive tests came back here. But the protocol is every 2 days for tier one level personnel. Who are tier one? They're the major league players. They're the major league coaches and manager. They're the support team of the front office people that are around, and also the clubhouse people. They're the grounds crew people. Those are the people that come into contact with these people. So that is tier one. As media people, as always, we're the last tier. We're tier three. So that's a separate entity altogether. As far as we're not tested. Our temperature is taken when we come into the ballpark. Our things, as I found out today at Guaranteed Rate, everything is sanitized by a security person, sprayed down, go through general security. It's a pretty stringent thing. You know, you do feel that people are on top of it here and at Wrigley Field, and that you feel they are doing the right things.
Hmm. Well, that's good. That at least that sense of security on the small level. Bruce, when you and I were on Inside the Clubhouse yesterday, and the Freddie Freeman news broke right in the middle of a conversation with Bob Nightingale, it was jarring. You know, it's just it kind of jarring emotionally to think about and sort of process. And then since the end of that show, you've got DJ LeMahieu and Luis Sessa. You've got Miguel Sano. You've got a couple of pitchers, Josh Taylor and another one for the right. Red Sox. And
Salvador Perez. Right.
Salvador Perez yesterday. Mike Matheny had said that he contracted a month ago. I mean, it just keeps coming. And is that feeling of that unfortunate feeling of dread, is that palpable amongst you and media brethren even more so today than it was yesterday?
I'm not sure about that, because we all knew, you know, intellectually, you knew that people were going to test positive, right? We're just mm-hmm. another portion of society. And, you know, the more testing that's done, the more people are found to have contracted it. Both White Sox players were asymptomatic when they were told they tested positive. So, you know, these are things that as the testing gets better and more prevalent, you're going to see more positive tests. As to dealing with it early on and getting people separated and then doing the tracking, which I'm sure all these clubs are doing on a daily basis to see who people were in contact with mostly, mm-hmm. that's the great unknown as to how quickly that happens and whether it spreads real quickly among a group, you know, whether they're social distancing, wearing masks or not.
Yeah, and as far as what might signal MLB to do anything or to change or to pause mm-hmm. or anything like that, I think we're still looking at a team going through some kind of crazy amount of turnover and being unable to field a competitive team because of volume.
You know, yeah, I think that's a smart comment. You know, again, if you lose, I mean, let's say Team X or the Atlanta Braves, for instance, already lost four guys off their major league team for, you know, let's say it's going to be 2 weeks at the least. You know, if this continues to happen to teams with high-profile players who start behind or contract the illness and decide they don't want to play any longer, you know, where does the competitive balance go? And does it even lessen the reality of what a 60-game season is to begin with? So I think Major League Baseball has its ear to the ground, and I think if you see it more prevalent and teams being impacted or areas, you know, for the regionals being more impacted than others, you know, Major League Baseball have to make a decision at that point. I think July 23rd, Matt, seems a long, long way away, even though it's 19 days, right? because every day seems like a week when we're waiting for these teams to announce more guys tested positive and that they're going to have to go through the protocol. It's the new normal for baseball, and unfortunately for Major League Baseball and the players, they're the litmus test for all the other sports as to whether this can happen or not in 2020.
Hey, Bruce, I'm interested in something like as we get closer and if there are games and even if there aren't, like as we go here over the next 20 days, I'm interested in creativity coming out of necessity around the league, you know, and we've talked about this in terms of strategy, what we might see in pitching, league-wide strategies developing, and I don't know if they will, but could I ask your assistance in being on the lookout for that? Because those kind of things, I love when people have to get creative and teams have to get creative and they figure out. Do you see what the Red Sox did at Fenway, where each player is having a suite as their locker instead of using the locker room? They need to keep socially distanced, so they just moved them upstairs and everybody gets a suite. I think that's smart, actually.
I mean, that's interesting. You know, it is. I mean, here, you know, the White Sox have created a lot of different things in their tunnels as far as workouts and weight rooms and taking them out of extremely closed areas. I think that's the key. I know they've done the same thing at Wrigley to try to move as many things as they can outside to give them the sense of security and for health purposes, knowing that outside is certainly better than inside when you're around other people. So yeah, that'll be fun to do. Maybe we can come up with an all 2020 strategy game, right? For if it wasn't so damn serious and unfortunate, we could have more fun with it.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's the thing. Like, I'm looking at the list of opt-outs, people who are opting out for sensible reasons and their own fears or family situations or whatever. And I'm thinking, boy, we could put together an all opt-out team here.
Yeah, it's you got a good start with Freddie Freeman and LeMahieu and Perez, all star quality guys.
Well, but those virus guys. I was trying to think about just the opt out guys, but either they're both morbid, frankly, to even try and smile at.
Yeah, it really is. And but you know, you'll get a lot of activity on social media just bringing it up. So if that's your intent, you know, you'll have plenty of activity. Anyway, you know, hopefully that this testing is really a good thing, and that these positive tests are going to be fewer and farther in between as we move on and the sport can continue. I think that's what we're all hoping for, and we hope that that's true.
Absolutely. Bruce, thanks so much. If anything else happens over there, let us know, okay?
All right, Matt. Thank you.
Thank you. It's Bruce Levine, the Score's Baseball Insider, on 670 The Score. Strange times. Crazy times indeed. But you guys know what I mean. Like, when creativity comes out of necessity, it's fascinating to me, and I hope to see it strategically in that we get to games. But some of the things that that people are doing, all right, let's set up. We need an extra area over here, and as I mentioned, like the Red Sox using the suites as lockers at Fenway is rather ingenious. You know, Roger Bossert is on top of all of those things over at Guaranteed Rate, the Sod Father, the Sodman, the son of a Sodman, the son of a son of a Sodman. That's Dan McNeil's guy, and I've grown to know Roger Bossert through the years, and he's just a joy. One of my greatest experiences in spring training ever. I should do that list because it's a good list. Actually, I've been a very lucky man. Was Roger Bossert taking me on a tour of the new tech cage at White Sox spring training just this year at Camelback? That was so cool. Me and Parkins and Mac and Shep all got a chance to walk over there and see their Rapsodo and see their stuff, you know. It was very, very cool. The Edgertronic cameras and all that stuff. But anyway, Roger Bossert was on with McNeil and Parkins this week and was talking about his personal value to the White Sox on an annual basis in terms of wins and losses.
You know, Bill Veeck said years ago he thought a good groundkeeper is worth 6 to 8 games. I can't say that. I wish I was worth that because I go to Jerry and get a raise. I like to feel that, you know what, a good groundkeeper can be worth 2 to 4 games. And if that's the case, sometimes at the end of the year, those 2 or 4 games, they might be in play.
We had
two
record
to four wins above replacement. You deserve a raise based on how they're paying these guys with the advanced analytics, Roger. That's impressive.
Yeah, seriously, that's I don't know if Roger needs a raise. I think Roger makes a lot. I think Roger does just fine, and he should. Been there forever, and he's one of the biggest in his field. One of the most important guys doing it now. One of the more important guys ever to do it. Look, when the Cubs needed to install a new modern drainage system at Wrigley, they called Roger Bossert, and he went over. He helped out. I mean, I can't go very deep on groundskeepers, on Major League Baseball groundskeepers. Sean, you got another one?
Draft?
Yeah. Who's going second in your MLB groundskeeper draft?
Ooh, hold on. Let me just look some up.
Yeah. Got any?
No.
Okay. George Toma, the all-timer. That's one of the greatest of all time. He's probably most famous groundskeeper. You know, nothing like online audio. George Toma. I typed in most famous groundskeeper, and that's the guy that comes up. Nailed it. Not just an MLB guy, an NFL guy. He's like, yeah, George Toma is considered the sod father. That's what they call him. Oh, boy. He's 91 years old, still alive. Sean, can we get him? Come on. We might have weeks to fill here. Might have more weeks to fill. I'm putting in an official interview request for 91-year-old George Toma on this show right here on 670 The Score. Maybe
I'll work on that, but then I'll also, in the second round, I'll take groundskeeper Willie in my groundskeeper draft.
I'm sorry. Looking for somebody who's actually done it on a professional major league level.
You 30 years have on Fox, baby. That's a professional enough.
Okay, well, then I'll take Carl. I'll take Carl from Caddyshack, and I have a better team than all of you. Damn it. Somehow, I have three and you only have one. That was not a very well-executed draft. Let's find out who Jason Benetti would pick next in the groundskeeper draft. The great groundskeeper draft of the 2020 non-baseball season. The voice of the White Sox joins us next on 670 The Score.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.